This morning, in just the next few minutes, I want to echo the invitation that the choir sang to every single person here this morning. This morning, I want to encourage you to come to the cross. And I have 4 points this morning. I want you to come to the cross, number one, for it's at the cross you'll find a friend. In John chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And I want you to think about your friends for a minute. I want you to think about what you would do for them. You know, if you're little kids, your brothers and your sisters ought to be your friend. But let me ask you this morning, would you take a spanking for them? I mean, if they did something wrong and dad came into the room and said, "You're going to get it," and they're talking to your brother or sister, would you raise your hand and say, "Dad, I did it, give it to me"? Your neighbors, we ought to have friends among our neighbors. And let me ask you, if your neighbor came over to you and said, "Hey, I got a speeding ticket, I don't have any money to pay it," would you be willing for your neighbor as a friend to pay their speeding ticket? And then I want for just a moment for you to think about your best friend, your very best friend in all the world. If that friend needed a kidney, would you give them one of yours if you could? And then let me just ask you the question. For your very best friend in all the world, would you die for them? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now I want you to take the next step. I want you to think about somebody you do not like. I want you to think about somebody you just cannot stand. I want you to think about somebody that for some reason, something they've done or some other circumstance, that you despise them. What would you do for them? Would you die for them? And my dear friend, here's what Jesus did for us. That's exactly what he did for us. When he died for us, we were not his friend. We were sinners, and the Bible says that sin made us enemies with God. And everything he was for, we were against. And yet, he took that moment when he went to Calvary and died, not for just his friends, but for those of us that were in sin, that were his enemies. No wonder the songwriters say, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. I have a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him." Or the song that says, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." I invite you to come to the cross this morning because it's at the cross that you will find a friend. I invite you to come to the cross this morning, number two, because it's at the cross that you'll find peace. I'll just tell you this morning, you will never have peace in your life until you have peace with God. It's sort of like at home. If you're fussing with your spouse, you will never have peace until things are right between the two of you. You both know it, your children know it, and every single person that comes into your home knows it. Now, you and I, all of us, were made to fellowship with God. We were made to be his friend. And you will never, ever, listen to me, you will never find peace in your life until you make peace with God. And it's at the cross where we do that. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that peace keeps us in this old world regardless of what's going on. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Look, you let the world have the nervous breakdowns. Let the world get sick with their worry. If you have the peace of God, it'll keep in your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I like the song the choir sings sometimes. "This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. Amen. Come to the cross, because it's at the cross you'll find a friend. Come to the cross, because it's at the cross you'll find peace. Come to the cross, number three, because it's at the cross that you'll find forgiveness for sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And you that have come here, you know you've heard me say that this before. You compare yourself to somebody else, you can always find somebody else that's worse than you are. You can always find somebody else that's a bigger sinner than you are. But what this verse says, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to the glory of God. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And when you look at yourself in the mirror of Christ Jesus, you will see that every single one of us come up real short. We fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so we either have to die for our sin, or somebody else has to die in our place. And it can't be just anybody. You see, another sinner can't die for my sin. Another sinner has to die for their own sin. If somebody is going to die in my place, I need somebody who had never, ever sinned. If somebody's going to die in my place, I need somebody that never did anything wrong. If somebody's going to die in my place, I need somebody that always did everything right. If somebody's going to die in my place, I need somebody that always pleased God. And there's only one person that that description fits, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, he faced every temptation that you and I face, yet without sin. When he was in the form of a man and he lived among us to tell us about God, he had the same temptations that you and I have. The Bible says, yet without sin. That's why John the Baptist could introduce Jesus when he came by saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's why 1,000 years before it happened, the prophet Isaiah could write, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Forgiveness comes no other way. It's not of works, nothing that you and I can do. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Come to the cross, because there you'll find a friend. Come to the cross, because there you'll find peace. Come to the cross, because there you'll find forgiveness of sins. And then number four, come to the cross, for it's there that you find your way home. I want you to think about home for a minute. That place on earth that you're loved and accepted just like you are. That place on earth that you're sheltered and protected. That place on earth where you're fed and clothed. That place on earth that no matter where you go, you always say, there's no place like home. No place like home. You were made to be with God. You were made to be his friend. He has a home for you. In John chapter 14, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And that place is meant to be an eternal home. And the only way that we can get home is by way of the cross. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now listen, look up right this way. You're going to live one of two places for eternity. Just one of two places. There's no other choice. One of two places. And please don't sit here and think, well, when I die, it's all over. No, it's not. There's a part of you, your soul, that's going to live forever. Ever and ever and ever. It's never going to die. And it's going to live one of two places. It's going to live at home with God in heaven. Or it's going to live in a place that was not created for man without God in a place called hell. So this morning, I say to every single person here, come to the cross. Come to the cross. Draw near and see the Savior, his body broken and bruised. Come to the cross. Come to the cross where he died for you. In just a moment, we're going to take our hymn books and we're going to turn over to 319. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." And this morning, that's how you come. Just like you are. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what my life's been like. You don't know the sin that's in my life." You're right, I don't. But I know the Savior we have. And I know the Savior's love is big enough and wide enough and deep enough to wash away every single one of your sins. You come this morning with just the plea that Jesus shed his blood for you and that he asks you to come. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. There you'll find a friend. There you'll find peace. There you'll find forgiveness for your sins. There you'll find the way home. Let's pray. Father, thank you. The wonderful invitation that each person has to come to the cross, to come to that one who died in their place. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here, just one person or two or three, however many people that are here that have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's never been a time in their life where they bowed their head and say, "Jesus, I take you as my Savior. I receive you as my Savior." If there's never been a time like that in their life, then I pray, Father, on this next song, that they'll come and they'll let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd have freedom to move, that those that don't know Christ would come, that Christians that you've spoken to about something else, maybe baptism, maybe church membership, that they would be obedient and they do what the Holy Spirit says. Father, I ask you to bless the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.